traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Man, Michael Cohen is actually, get this, worth $11 million, and more than half of it is from that dopey book you wrote about Trump. I don't think that that many people bought it. I do think, though, that the deep state Democrat establishment, they have funded what they call the resistance. And if you are in Trump world and you are ready to come out and make some money, there is a place for you. Just see, I don't know, Cassidy Hutchinson, Michael Cohen. Oh, and one of the sneakiest people out there, Stephanie Winston Wolkoff. Is that her name? Big Bird. She's like 7 feet tall. So enamored with herself. You're friends with Melania and then you stay friends with her, but you decide she's the worst person in the world and you start to tape Melania and you try to get her to say embarrassing things about herself and her husband. And you release those audio tapes to the world. This is Stephanie Winston Wolkoff is her name. Now, nobody really knows or remembers. She achieved a bit of notoriety because there's a big dark cloud hanging over her head regarding the inaugural fund, the inauguration of Trump. She was on the committee. And I think, like a lot of folks I've seen, she thinks she's impressive, right? I told you how tall she is, right? She's very well dressed. Excuse me. And she's rich. And people like that sometimes think that therefore they're good at their jobs. Well, she's not. She was totally incompetent setting up the inauguration. They realized that. And it looked like her company was like overcharging and ripping off, ripping people off and getting way too much money. I think there was a federal investigation. She wasn't charged or anything like that. But she became convinced that the Trumps all of a sudden are the worst people in the world. So she sits down and starts taping Melania. What kind of snake does that? Still pretending that they're friends. And she's making audio tapes. Just like Michael Cohen, the lawyer, which you can be disbarred over. He was disbarred, but not for that. He's actually treated like a hero for taping his own client. So Stephanie Winston Wolkoff, she's always on Twitter. She's always bagging on Trump and, look at me and, how could she do that to a friend? Could you ever do that? Would you ever do? I mean, my worst enemy. I don't think I would ever. Well, I take that back. I have recorded my worst enemy, but I didn't give it to the news. Have you ever taped anybody?
No, I don't think I have. I mean, obviously, whenever I do these phone or interviews, I have to get permission. I say, hey, can I tape this? You know what I mean? This is a...
You were never in a touchy, sensitive meeting and you thought, you know what? I better have a record of this.
I don't know what that says about me that I haven't been, but no, I don't think so. I think pretty much everything's been pretty straightforward for me.
It says that you're pretty naive and very vulnerable. You got to protect yourself.
Probably
no,
true.
You probably did the right thing. Don't worry. I checked when I did it. I wasn't breaking the law. It was a one-party consent thing. But, I mean, taping somebody is not the biggest deal in the world. I'll tell you what. That wasn't a friend. It wasn't a friend of mine. She was taping her own friend, Melania. Melania has been through so much. Poor woman. Although they're going to be so victorious, I don't know what the hell it's going to look like. But so what's going on, James Flippin?
So we've talked a lot about congestion pricing.
Oh, no.
The latest is that New Jersey is going to get some of the money. That's what the MTA says, that New Jersey will get some of the money. So we don't know if that's going to put an end to New Jersey's lawsuit or, you know, what if that's like a negotiated deal between New Jersey and the MTA. But right now they will get some of the money from congestion pricing.
If it happens. I don't want it to happen.
That's a good point.
I don't want it to happen.
Supposed to start mid-June. So, I mean, the clock is ticking. There's plenty of lawsuits out there that still have to be resolved. But that's sort of the MTA's latest, I guess.
Who the hell is the head of the MTA? Nobody even knows.
Jano Lieber.
Who's that?
Well, I assume that he's been with the MTA for a long time.
I thought that was I thought Paul McCartney's girlfriend was on it or something like that. Paul McCartney's wife.
Oh, No, I'm not sure what her connection is to it, but.
Well, I need to be brought up to speed on this thing because I can't have it. It's going to inconvenience me, and I am a real cheapskate when it comes to things like this. So I don't want it to happen. And, yikes. This is June.
It's getting closer.
All right. Anything else?
Let's see. You know, we've talked about the Gilgo Beach serial killer. I don't know exactly why, but Rex Huerman is in court today. I guess there's some sort of procedural, matter that's going down there. And how about this? There's a concern here in New York City. A lot of people are getting sick by a disease spread by rat urine.
What disease?
It's something I can't pronounce with a P.
What do you call a lot of people?
I think at least 24 so far.
Well, what are the symptoms?
You know, respiratory dysfunction and like some, you know, stomach problems, stuff like that.
All right. How are they getting?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because they say that it's usually spread through contaminated soil or water. I don't know exactly what the deal would be with water. I was wondering if maybe like these buildings that have cisterns, you know what I mean? So that you can actually have pressure in a high rise building. Maybe somehow the rats like get into that cistern. I mean, I am not making a scientific statement here. I'm just curious if that's.
I don't think the rats get up the buildings. Mice do sometimes. Certainly mice.
Maybe they have the same disease.
Watch out for the rat urine. Give us one more.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, you saw that senior NPR editor. Your early Berliner, he actually now resigned.
Yes, he quit. It was one of those things, quit or get fired. He was in trouble. And he basically said that, and this is why I was not that intrigued. I mean, he said NPR is left-wing and biased. I'm like, I've known this all my life. Now you said it from the inside. I sometimes look a little bit, certain whistleblowers I like, and then others, this is not really a whistleblower, this is just a tattletale. I don't know if I like that.
Right. You mean because
we were just talking about a rat. A rat will do anything to survive. Isn't that right?
He's been there for 25 years.
I just don't think that, 25 years, he got a paycheck, and all of a sudden he decided that he can't take it anymore. Something tells me, it coincided with his pension reaching maturity or something like that, or a divestiture. Mm-hmm. You know, it worked out for him.
I do have one last thing for you. I don't know if you'd be interested in this or not, but Jonte Porter is an NBA player. He just got banned for life from the MPA for betting on games and also allegedly tipping off gamblers about his health and like other things about the game.
How old is he?
I don't have that in front of me. I assume he's in his like early to mid 20s.
Jonte Porter? Gosh, man, oh man.
His brother's a pretty big star in the league, as a matter of fact, Michael J. Porter. And there was report that he might have bet on his own team to lose. There was a game where he might have tipped somebody off. They put this big $80,000 bet down to win $1.1 million, and then he left the game early. So potentially that was the workout where they said, oh, you know what? I'll leave the game early.
I feel for these guys who get this addiction to gambling. That's one thing I've never really been into or done. I don't know anything really about. Although one time I was in Vegas, I stayed at the table for about 16 hours.
What, blackjack?
Or? Yeah. So it can be, it's like a disease.
Right.
I mean, they wouldn't kick him out for alcoholism. Maybe they shouldn't kick him out for gambling. I think they overpunished Pete Rose, for that matter. Let Pete Rose back in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
There are people who have run over. I mean, look at the NFL. 40% of the NFL are total criminals.
What about from a devil's advocate perspective? You know, the sports, if people don't believe it's at least somewhat on the up and up, then it's going to kind of cease to have any legitimacy as a product.
I don't know. Wrestling seems to be doing great, right? WWE.
That's a good point.
Right? I don't know. I think it's so what does this guy do for the rest of his life? He's 6'10" and 240 pounds. I just looked it up. He's 24 years old and he can't play basketball for the rest of his life.
Well, he might be able to go to like Greece or Israel, China. You know, I mean, there's other leagues. You could potentially...
They've got leagues over there.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck to that young man. He made some mistakes, I guess. But who decided? That guy who's the head of the NBA, that really nasty, evil-looking guy?
Adam Silver.
Yeah, him. And you know what's really strange? He makes more money than most of the players. He makes like $30 million a year. Same goes for Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
These guys are getting pummeled every week, you know, and it's not as generous as you think it is for most players. I don't like Roger Goodell. And I don't like, what's his name again?
Adam Silver.
Him. Yeah. They're not, no, I don't think it's a fair situation. John Tay. We support John Tay. G-O-N-T-A-Y. How do you think my reevaluation of the O.J. Simpson verdict is going down?
You mean, well, like, how are people reacting to it?
Yeah.
I'm imagining not well, but it's an interesting thing. I mean, I've read that guy, the Texas PI, who basically says his son did it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, wait. She just called in, and I'm anxious to know what people think. Deborah, hello.
Hi, Greg. I also agree with you. OJ didn't do it. He absolutely didn't do it. I have a theory, but I do believe that he came upon the house. He went back there to talk to her when he was with Cato. He wanted to give her a piece of his mind. I believe he came there and he saw it and he said, oh my God, they're going to think I did it. I got to get the hell out of here. What am I going to do? My theory is Faye Resnick got arrested a few weeks before. Remember her friend?
Oh, yes. Girl? Very beautiful.
And there was a lot of drug dealing and a lot of things going on. And a lot of that connected with Mezzaluna Restaurant.
Yeah, no, everybody knows the drugs were being dealt out of Mezzaluna and Faye and everybody. I mean, that's just like saying people have a suntan in California. Cocaine is very common. There wasn't enough time. And Cato Kalin certainly wasn't there. Cato Kalin was not there. You know that, right? He wasn't there.
No, I didn't say he was there. I said he went to McDonald's with him, correct?
Yep, he sure did. And they got back at 9:37 at night. They get back.
I think he came upon it later and just saw it. He didn't do it. There's no way.
Well, some people agree with you that he went to the crime scene. I actually don't even believe that. There's no evidence that he was at the crime scene. And even the Bruno Mollies can be explained, but keep going.
Right. So I believe that I do not believe Ron Goldman, it was an accident. I actually believe it was more about him and her, but it was more about him. He was involved with something else. You'll never get to the bottom of it. And by the way, if you look at the wounds, that was a professional cut.
No, it wasn't.
Well, this was it
a
friend.
No. A profession to kill somebody, it doesn't take 67 stabbings. You know, to kill someone, that's not professional. It takes two. You know, one, two, you're dead. That's a professional. I mean, to have to stab somebody all over the place in the feet, in the neck, in the groin, in the thigh. I mean, there are stab wounds everywhere. That's not a professional. That's a frantic amateur.
Greg, how do you slit somebody's throat? Think about it.
I think we know how. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is,
Ron Goldman had about 75 different wounds on him, and the man fought like hell. And whoever killed him would have had wounds all over his body, and not a paper cut on his knuckle. All right. What happened is that's not a professional job. All right. No way was that professional.
But he was sent there to take care of them. It wasn't OJ.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't OJ. Look, I mean, you're right. We're never going to know. We're never going to solve it. Although that's one of the things I really do want to solve. Maybe someday. There are a couple people who have confessed. Did you know that, James Lippin? People who have come forward. They're in jail. Hey, all kinds of weirdos confess.
Any credible people who...
There's one guy, a serial killer, but, well, how credible can that be? All right, one more before we go. Jacqueline, hello.
Hi, Greg. I just wonder, since you did a lot of research into this OJ case, at the time, do you know if there was any thorough investigation or even consideration that his oldest son could have been a suspect or not?
Well, in the days after the murder, not really. Reportedly, OJ had a lawyer assigned to his son right off the bat. Even before he got a lawyer, he had his son all lawyered up. The prosecutors were looking at him a little bit, but he never became a person of interest. He never was interviewed by law enforcement. The most we know from Jason is what he said during the wrongful death deposition that happened, I think, in 97 or so. And there's some really wild things that we find out in that. Number one, on the night of the murder, he was on probation for assault with a deadly weapon. How about that one? Nobody, I mean, it's incredible. And once you find that out, it does put a different paint job on things. Thank you, Jacqueline. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Ho, ho. Genocide Biden has got to go. Is that what they're calling him? Yeah, this is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Joe Biden continues his home state victory tour, whatever it is. They don't like him in Pennsylvania at all. Wow. Really intense. Now, granted, those people are crazy maniacs themselves. A lot of them pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist young people. I can't believe that this has become a stylish cause. You know, gosh, even during Vietnam, all those people who came out against the war, very few of them were coming out in favor of the communists, in favor of the Viet Cong. I mean, Hanoi Jane Fonda, that's a major exception. And she didn't pay enough of a price for that. Can you imagine? She goes over to North Korea, starts playing with their anti-missile systems, their anti-aircraft systems that were killing American pilots, and she's cheering them on. Man, she really is no good. Imagine that. You can do that and not be canceled. You can call somebody by the wrong pronoun these days and be canceled, but she could go literally give aid and comfort and cheer on the enemy and is still the grande dame of Hollywood. Remember that time she got into that spat with Megyn Kelly? Megyn Kelly was totally in the right. Boy, oh boy, she just overreacted, Jane Fonda. Does she have any kids? Does Jane Fonda have any kids? I imagine she had like Piven. She married that French director who apparently liked to set up menage a trois all the time, and she wasn't into it. And I think it's her choice, right? So the French, I hear this a lot about some French men, not all, of course, but that they're very chauvinistic. Actually, the chauvinistic, I think that's a French word almost, the chauvinistic. They're very kind of like, hey, man, you are a woman, I am man, you do what I say. But, I mean, they look so good and they sound so good when they're saying it. Yeah, the French, difficult, but beautiful as well, absolutely beautiful. And they have a certain je ne sais what about them. It's important to go through, well, not really that important, but I love doing it. The actual original documents related to anything and the case that, well, look, you can consume a year's worth of fake news and never know what's going on in this trial of Trump, or you can download the indictment and see what a crummy, fraudulent case it is by actually looking at Alvin Bragg's words. And the introduction, statement of facts, the people of state of New York versus Donald Trump. The defendant, Donald J. Trump, repeatedly and fraudulently falsified New York business records to conceal criminal conduct that hid damaging information from the voting public during the 2016 presidential election. Here's the big exception, and that no one else has noticed. They say Donald Trump should have filed all that stuff. Even if he did, it would not have been due until the next year after the election.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
We were just talking about France. I'm trying to imagine a scenario where I would sneak into France illegally. Imagine like going all the way over there, taking a boat, going to, say, Italy, and then walking across the border into France, taking a bus up to Paris, and then showing up at City Hall and demanding and expecting free food, free clothing, free shelter. I wouldn't go over there without a hotel reservation. I mean, I just don't go unless you take care of things ahead of time.
But we have thousands upon thousands, even millions of people who have been encouraged to come here by Joe and the rest with this handout mentality, which, quite frankly, is more and more. You fit right in American culture now. Now, these women, I believe, are from West Africa. They'll be speaking in their native tongue, but there's an interpreter sitting there as well. And, the free food wasn't good enough. Go ahead.
But at the shelter, the food, my kids cannot eat the food at the shelter. And on Ramadan time, we couldn't eat because when you come back for the breaks, the food is no good at all.
Stop! I thought they fasted during Ramadan anyway. I don't know. And what's not good about it? I mean, is it not to your liking or is it rotten? I don't think it's rotten. I just think that I hate the idea of kids going hungry, no matter how they eat. It's not their fault. It's the parents. Can you imagine taking kids all the way across the world, no plan, no cash, no nothing, and expecting others to do it for you? Mm-mm. And that's not harsh. I'm sorry. That's human. You gotta take care of yourself. This is pretty pathetic. Keep going.
And they give us 2 months to stay at the shelter, and then you have to go out again with your luggages and the kids and find another place. It's very difficult.
Duh, no kidding!
And also, I have a kid that is like 18 to 19. Until now, he doesn't have no school.
Did she say 18 to 19? Well, that's not a kid.
So please help us.
What do you want? 2 months of shelter. I think we could help by, I think the word is, let me think, what is it? Deportation. Get the hell out of here. This is to present yourself in another country with no means of your own support, no mechanisms. I mean, this is intolerable. I do feel partly bad for these folks because they were encouraged by people like Eric Adams, by people like Joe Biden. Come, surge the border. You should surge the border. That was his advice. Hey, NPR, National Public Radio, they have a CEO, and I've seen this before. Beware of overly attractive people. I've always been a little bit suspicious. Overly attractive people, they usually have it easy, right? I mean, everyone's always kind of kissing their ass. Everybody wants to kind of, they cut them a break. They got it easier than most. And this woman, who is the head of NPR, is, let's face it, she's pretty hot. She looks like a model. And they think they can get away with saying insane stuff. And basically because everything they've said for their entire lives is everything is beautiful. They just wow people, not with the substance, but really listen to what this person, this is an individual in the news business. She runs National Public Radio and she gives one of those TED talks, you know, where they walk around on the stage and pretend they're Tony Robbins for 15 minutes and listen to some of this stuff. Man, oh man, go ahead.
The hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion. Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. And after 7 years of working with these brilliant folks, I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. Now, that is not to say that the truth doesn't exist.
Oh, thank you.
Nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things.
Phew.
But I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
The moon is 238,642 miles from the Earth, period. I don't care what culture you're from. That's a fact. All right. That exists. Now, there are some cultures out there. There are some people out there who don't think we went to the moon, who think the world is flat, that kind of thing. I do think there is objective truth. Now, there is selection of fact. You can play games with that. I just didn't like her whole demeanor up there. And like she's, oh, no, don't worry. I still believe that there's truth, but like as if my cheesy little lecture is really going to, untangle this crazy world we live in. Suzanne, hello. Never mind. Don, hello.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, buddy? Listen, 67 times stabbed, that's a guy high on crystal meth. And I say this because I know he had a big crystal meth problem. And he, what he did was he, when he was in the truck with Al Cowling.
Who? OJ?
OJ, yeah.
And they weren't even doing crystal meth in the 90s. I don't think they were. That was a thing yet in the 94, was it?
It's in the 70s. They were doing crystal meth in the 70s.
They were doing more cocaine back then. There was more cocaine and opium and pot. They weren't doing that much crystal meth back then. That came later.
I know a little bit about it, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
They
what are you, like Breaking Bad? You know, you really? All right. So, look, it doesn't matter whether he was high on drugs. I've heard that a million times myself. He liked drugs. He didn't have the time to do it. He just did not have the time. And how do you explain the total lack of injury on O.J. Simpson? There's nothing other than that one cut on his hand, which he got in Chicago. People overlook this. People don't know. He was on the phone with an operator in Chicago, and she hears a glass break. So it doesn't really matter to me whether or not he had a drug problem. He did not have the time. And the bloody clothes and all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, look, I got to do a podcast or something on it, or, you know, but I don't think it has anything to do with the drugs.
Well, Greg, you're going to find out you're wrong, but that's cool, buddy. I love you.
Wait a second. What do you mean you're going to find out I'm wrong? I'm going to find out I'm wrong.
Because what he it's all junkie behavior. Everything he did after it with Al Cowlings when he was in the Bronco. They went for how long in that slow speed chase?
Oh, wait, I mean, number one, I mean, when you think about it, that has nothing to do with whatever happened at 875 South Bundy. All right? No. They're going to arrest him. There's this whole thing, apparently, and I've looked into it, especially if you come from a hard scrabble background. You know, he was involved in gangs and stuff like that when he was growing up in Northern California, right? And he always had this anxiety that the great fame and success that he achieved was going to be taken from him for bad things that he had done, cheating on his wife, whatever. He always kind of had this anxiety. So when it happened, and, you know, we've all done things that we don't like, right? You know, he thinks it's not for the murder. It's for all these other things that he had done. And talk about a fall. You're top of the world to a fugitive. I don't know. I mean, I could totally see somebody's, especially OJ, decades, charmed life, but he always had that nagging sensation that it was going to be taken from him. But anyway, Don, I can tell I'm making no progress, but it was a wild case. What?
Do you remember when he was at the arraignment table with the first lawyer, Kardashian, or the other guy, and he kept falling down? He was at the judge was arraigning him, and he was in a suit, he kept falling down.
No, he never kept falling down. He never,
oh, he did.
No, he did not. No. There were two. I do remember. I remember 100% not guilty. I remember the other one, not guilty. He wasn't falling down. Let's look at for it right now. Do it right now in real time. There's no O.J. Simpson falling down at the defense table at the plea. There were only two plea. He only entered a plea twice, I believe. O.J. Simpson, not guilty, falling down. Let's see what comes up here. Fallen football hero. stunning downfall, but nothing about falling down at the... I think you're misremembering it. But anyway, Don, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. On the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly. Entertaining and informative. On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Wow, that Laura Loomer is down there at Ground Zero in these in the Trump trial and the protests, the pro-terrorist protests, and Laura Loomer is documenting it all. Have you been loomered? You know all about that, right? She is really becoming like quite this iconic figure, in my opinion, and just kind of capturing it all and speaking truth to idiots. They are idiots, these pro-terrorist idiots down there. And by the way, her little posse, it seems to be, it doesn't really matter, but rather diverse people from all walks of life. Hey, I'm also getting all kinds of messages from my lawyer friends telling me, oh, no, this is consciousness of guilt. And they're citing this thing and that thing and this statute. They're talking about the Bronco chase. Well, that may be a matter of law, but in a matter of the trial against O.J. Simpson, it specifically was not entered into evidence, the Bronco chase. Why not? Well, they thought that it would garner sympathy for OJ. You know, the call, the note, all that stuff would somehow, you know, accrue to OJ's benefit. This is the prosecutors. They're the ones who did not enter it. And it was up to them, I guess, right? I guess the defense could have as well. If you look back at that, I mean, there were throngs of people along the way standing on the bridges, and they weren't like, you know, the onlookers at a suicide, you know, saying jump, jump, jump. They were saying, go OJ. We support you. We love you. So I know it's a little hard to accept. Back then we trusted the media. This is a long time ago. Who are the people who told us he was guilty? Jeffrey Toobin, Dan Abrams, Peter Jennings, Tom Brokaw, right? That class, they're the ones who decided. And the goofy people of the state of California. Mark in New Jersey, yeah.
How you doing, Greg? I think that from the very beginning, Jason had some kind of relationship with Nicole, which went sour. He blacked out, and he murdered both of them. He called OJ to the scene. OJ came, saw what his son did, completely melted down, hence his behavior for the rest of the thing. And then they came up with the defense rather quickly that let's let them believe that that OJ did it. We know we could get him off because he didn't do it. And then they just protected Jason.
That could be. We don't know, but that could be. But here's one thing that I've been trying to find out. How did Jason call his father that night? He did not have a cell phone. There's no record of Jason getting in touch with his father. Now, I've heard things like, well, if it was a local call, those calls aren't actually, recorded by the phone company. So there's that. It's not like, you know, cell phones of today where everything you do on the phone in every location. It is possible. It is possible that the son, but the more I look at it, the more the timeline, I just don't think there was time for OJ or anybody. Like, if the son did it, then he had to go meet his dad, bring him there. I mean, that's even less time than OJ doing it and going back to Rockingham. That means OJ's got to leave Rockingham after the murder, find his son, go back to the murder scene, and then go back home. And there's not enough time to do it. There's not enough time. There's just not enough time. And remember, 10:55 is the end point. That's the time he gets into the limo with Alan Parks. Look, I think it's totally fascinating. And there's actually some cool podcasts that have already been done. I'll see if I can get those and send them to you. Thank you, Mark. Let's do we're almost out of time. Carmine, hello.
Hey. Hi, Greg. I'm curious. I don't know about you or your listeners, but I had, tears in my eyes. And my heart was in my throat yesterday watching Trump at the bodega. I was just worried for his safety. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to put his life in jeopardy.
All right, relax. Come on. No, I was not worried about that. They got the Secret Service. He's got to go and see the people. He's got to go and see the people. I mean, you know, it's always risky when you're running for president. I'm not going to worry about him up there. The people love him up there.
But he could be at Barron's graduation. He could be with his family, Greg, but he cares about us. And like you said, it has to be supernatural protection from God. It has to be a calling from God for him to be able to do what he's doing and to endure what he is enduring.
I agree. It is really amazing to watch, and we're very, very fortunate. Thank you very much, Carmine. What the hell? Pamela, hi.
Hi. You were talking about Africa before, and it reminded me of something. When my mother was a teenager, it was very common for families to sponsor soldiers in World War II to have them in for Sunday dinner when they were on leave. And one particular very nice young man that my mother spent a lot of time with, he talked about Africa. He was stationed in Africa. And people don't realize that our boys were in Africa. And unfortunately, he was killed. He would bring propaganda from Rommel's army and leaflets that were dropped, all kinds of stuff just for my mother to look at and everything. And such a nice young man, and he got killed. And I don't think people realize, you know, that people were in Africa also, and families sponsored them, and it was a different time.
American soldiers were in Africa?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. People know that. People know that, the Desert Fox and all that stuff. You know, I was in Africa. Did you know that? Yeah, I served in Africa. I was in Africa. I was in Djibouti. I was in Eritrea for the United States Marine Corps. And and it was not that hard, to be honest. It was during peacetime, and it was okay, except a bunch of warlords tried to take over the American embassy in Eritrea, and I had to go into action. No kidding. We did a little bit of stuff over there. And who else is in Djibouti? Ah, Nikki Haley's husband. I wonder if he's still there. Nikki Haley's husband running around the swimming pool in Camp Lamanier. That's in Djibouti. Anyway, very nice story about your mom, and I'm glad she had that experience. What was this guy coming home on leave from Africa and going back every Sunday?
Well, whatever they used to do in those days, you know, my mother's passed away, so I can't ask her, but she did talk about him a lot. Dory, his name was, and he would bring, you know, all kinds of history because he knew my mom loved history. And spent a lot of time with the family. You know, I guess there were times when they had leave, you know.
That's very beautiful. Very beautiful. Thank you so much. All right. And that means it's time for Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hey. Hi, Greg. I'm hearing all this that you're discussing about O.J. Simpson, and I'm saying to myself, what lessons can we learn from this? What lessons can we learn, first of all, not even from the savagery of the murders, but what lesson from how divided our nation was at that time, that you had people on one side and people on the other side rooting on a racial basis for him being found guilty or being found innocent. And my only conclusion is that it shows more than ever we need to do what we were doing for a long time. We need to come back as one people, come back as one God-fearing nation, one Christian, Judeo-Christian country. Love each other, love God, and know that we are one nation, so that when we see people in this country chanting, death to America, death to America, destroy the whole system, we all stand together, no matter what our color is, no matter what our race is, we all stand together for the right, which is what America is. How badly we need that.
Well, unfortunately, half the country doesn't see it that way, and they don't want it that way. It really is kind of strange, right? I mean, what you say is beautiful, but I think half the country totally disagrees with you, right, Barbara?
I pray it's not half of the country, although we're not religious like we used to be, I don't believe that half of the country is evil.
They are not evil. They've been lied to. Thank you, Barbara.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.